The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. From the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. On coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You discard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord.
Be doers of the word. Last week, we all reflected on courage. Be courageous. We saw the example of Peter stepping out and being courageous in a moment where everybody was walking. And Jesus looked at Peter with loving eyes and say, "Are you leaving too?" Because Jesus was going. And he said, "Are you leaving too?" And Peter said, "To whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life." So Peter had this moment of courage in his life. But it's not like he had secured forever the virtue of courage. Because we can look in other parts of the gospel where he wasn't courageous. I spoke about last week the extremes of courage, virtue being in the middle, from Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics. If courage is in the middle, if virtue is in the middle, that means there's extremes. And so at certain moments, Peter lived the extreme of recklessness. And the one example was in the garden, after Jesus invited him to watch and pray. The guard of the high court official came in to the garden to take Jesus, and he grabbed his sword and cut off his ear, and Jesus said, "Put that sword away. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword." Peter was reckless in that moment. And he may have thought of himself as someone to defend Jesus who was in some way, shape, or form being a coward. But see, Jesus was the one who had courage. He was trying to show Peter and his followers from all times how to be courageous. We also know that Peter didn't always get it right. And an example he followed after that moment where he got kind of reprimanded by Jesus, probably stung like when Jesus reprimanded him when he said, "Not you, you're not going to the cross," after he professed him as being rock, right? "Not you, you're not going to the cross." And Jesus literally turned to Peter in that moment and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You speak not as God speaks, but as human beings speak." So that encounter in the garden for Peter must have kind of stung like that one. So then Peter follows Jesus with John, and they go in that inner court. John gets a little closer, and Peter's warming himself by the fire. He's in a moment of comfort, and he gets caught on his heels. And I believe all of us at different moments as trying to follow Jesus Christ, we can get caught on our heels where we say the wrong things and we do what we really don't want to do because maybe we're afraid or whatever it is, and we get caught on our heels and we're not courageous. And Peter was called out. And the woman said, "You know the man." And he denied it. "I do not." "No, no, no, you know the man." "No, I don't." "You're a Galilean. You're his follower. You know the man." And Peter cussed to a storm. And then it said he wept bitterly. So virtue, courage is in the middle. And last week we talked about be courageous. And it was beautiful. One of the parishioners walking out said, "Father, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to be courageous." A little fifth grader was in the back memorizing Bible verses with an adult after Mass. And she was memorizing one of the ones out of the Old Testament about courage. "I want to be courageous." Right? We're called to be courageous. But the question could be, how? How can I be courageous? Be a doer of the word. A doer of the word. A doer of the word. But how can we be a doer of the word if we don't know the word? Not just hearers of the word, and maybe all of us, I put myself in the same boat. When I was growing up and different things, whatever, coming to Mass or whatever, sometimes it's the only time in a week. And it's good, it's great. It's great that you're here, but if the only time of the week that I hear the word of God proclaimed is here, am I a doer of the word? Do I proclaim it with loud voice around the table with my family? Do I proclaim it by maybe getting up in the morning and reading a little bit and carrying that word with me in my car to wherever I go, to my school, to my activities, to whatever it is, to be a doer of the word? And we have to know the word in order to follow the word. And the word is not just an empty word, a word spoken in time, but it's a word that echoes in eternity. And this word is real, and this word has flesh, and this word is Jesus Christ, and he is the word. He's the word incarnate, and he is the way. He is the way to eternal life, and he showed us the way through the cross to the resurrection. And he is the truth. He's the one who will shine light on all situations to show us where truth truly is. And he is the life for those that even give their life for Jesus. Because there's a life beyond this life. And he is our life. As St. Paul said, whether I live or die, if I die, I die with Christ. If I live for Christ. Brothers and sisters of Christ, to be doers of the word, to know this word and be animated, let our hearts be animated so we can truly be those doers who go out and bring him to our world. Jesus is the answer for all times. We have it and we cannot keep it hidden under a bushel basket. To be doers of the word. I had the grace as a seminarian to kind of travel in different states and countries and different things, and I went once to Phoenix, Arizona. And I was there in Carefree, Arizona, with an amazing family, and we're talking, and the dad's there over the telling the story over the table with his kids who didn't have the experience that he had. And he said in 1985, he had the grace of going with a small group of pilgrims to a private audience with Saint Pope John Paul II. And it was in 1985. And they could interchange with little conversations and all that stuff, and it was amazing. John Paul II was really real, and he was there talking to him. So someone had the courage towards the end of the conversation to say, "Holy Father, I have a question for you. You lived through the experience of World War II. You lived that in a heroic way. Holy Father, you were the one who literally said when the Berlin Wall came down, you said that when one evil goes away, if love does not take its place, another evil will come. When one evil goes away, if love does not take its place, another evil will come. If there's a line of people lining up and someone turns around with a clenched fist and they punch someone in the face, then they turn around and punch the next person in the face, and they turn around and punch the next person in the face, it's going to take one person to take that punch in the face and say, I'm not going to turn around and I'm not going to give it to the other person. I'm going to take it. And that's where Jesus Jesus was the example for us. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, give them the left. If they ask you for your tunic, give them your cloak. And if they ask you to 1 mile, go two. And he shred the 2 miles of the bloody steps to the cross for you and me. And he gave way more than just 1 mile. He gave it all. And so this question came to St. John Paul II. I don't know what was in his heart, but I know he's a saint, and the church has proclaimed him as a saint. And we lived in his lifetime. He lived in ours, the vast majority of us. I would not be a priest today if it probably wasn't for that saintly pope. And so the question came to him, what is the greatest threat to the faithful, to the Catholic Church right now in these times? What is the greatest threat that really could be the greatest threat to the world? And they were thinking of the Berlin Wall in 1985. That being up and him speaking about being in Poland and what it was like to live under communism and all that, and to see his friends get carted off to Auschwitz and all the horrific tragedies. And that he, of all people, having lost his brother to a disease, who went into harm's way to save the lives of others, his own brother, and died of that disease. His mother died. His father died when they were invaded, and he was alone. And yet he lived with love in his heart and was able to do great things. So the question was asked, what's the greatest threat? So he paused prayerfully, leaning on his crozier on the cross. Then he looked up and he said to this gentleman and everybody there, the greatest threat to the faithful in the world right now in 1985 is the compartmentalizing of the faith. The compartmentalizing of the faith. To you young ones, let me explain what I mean by compartmentalizing of the faith. You've got your drawers at home where you put your clothes and you put your, you probably got some candy stashed in there too, right? If you're like me, Jolly Ranchers or whatever, you know, whatever. But you have your locker at school, you have that. But I want to talk about a bookshelf, right? Because we can come here and it's good. We can come here and say, Father, I want you to know that I've got a lot of activities in my family. I got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of important things, a lot of good things. And the faith is the biggest book on the bookshelf. We pray our prayers at home as a family. We do this, we do that. I'm here at Mass. I'm helping here. I'm doing this. And my faith animates us all. It's the biggest book on the bookshelf. I got a lot of books there, but it's the biggest one. The threat of compartmentalizing the faith means that our faith is not meant to be the biggest book on our bookshelf. It's meant to be the bookshelf. It's meant to hold up everything we do. It's meant to animate our hearts in such a way that no matter what we're doing, going to our schools, going to our places of work, in our community, whatever we're doing, that we cannot separate our faith as followers of Jesus Christ and put it in a box after a weekend experience and not let it impact our lives. At the same time, there's a multitude of saints. Somebody once says, how many ways are there to pray? How many ways can a person pray? And the response was, as many ways as there are human beings that walk on this earth. So there's many ways to be doers of the word. But we're not going to be doers of the word if we compartmentalize our faith. Now, you know, we can look at the landscape of the world, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Afghanistan right now, okay? We can look at the land, because I know it's heavy on your hearts. It's heavy on my hearts. Heavy on my heart. Why? Because being doers of the word, we get caught as followers of Jesus Christ in this pull between forgiven and justice, and how do you do it? But we know that if we're really going to be doers of the word, we have to imitate Jesus, who when he was nailed to that cross, cried out for all humanity, Father, forgive them, they know what, not what they do. He did not go to the cross just for people who are good. He went to the cross for people who are criminals. people who betrayed him. And all humanity having fallen to sin, he went to the cross for us all. And if he's going to cry that cry, we as followers of Jesus Christ have to cry that cry. We as those who are called to be doers of the word need to believe so much in the word, like those first Christians in the Acts of the Apostles. When Peter was locked in the jail, they prayed so hard, they lived their prayer so profoundly from their heart that the earth shook and the jails opened. How much does my faith move me to live like that? What if being doers of the word, coming here and worshiping our Lord, who's the Lord of life and history, what if this Mass, our prayer, our 2 hours we're going to spend here, because Father gives a long homily, if we could offer that on the altar with the sacrifice offered once or for all, what if our actions could get somebody in Afghanistan out of the plight of danger? Do I believe my prayers can do that? I do. To be doers of the word. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we're called to bring forth from our heart what we receive at this Mass and bring our hearts and the heart of Jesus out to our world. We've been blessed to have been baptized. And I don't want to discredit in the least bit the necessity of offering that gift to others. You parents, grandparents, thank you. Because the greatest gift you've given your children and my parents gave me, second to the breath of life, is the gift of new life in Christ, baptism. And it's higher than anything else you can give your children. And to educate them on that. We celebrate birthdays, which we should. But do we come and visit Jesus on the day of our baptism? Do I even know what day I was baptized? Take a candle, light it. Be a doer of the word. Come back and render thanks to God for the gift of new life in Christ. A 2-minute visit here with the little ones. Talk to them about their baptism, the gift of new life in Christ, and then take them out for some ice cream or donut or all that stuff. That's the stuff that's most important in our life if we want it to be what holds up everything else we do. So we have the gift of baptism. Did you know there's 3 ways to get baptized? Church teaches us. Primarily, it's water. Second way to get baptized is by desire. That's someone who's never been introduced Jesus to him for whatever reason, but they desire to follow their conscience, to be courageous, to do good and avoid evil, which is written on the heart of every human being, and they strive to do that with their life. It's a lot harder, but Aristotle would be in that camp. Plato would be in that camp. They pursued truth, okay? Desire for a baptism, desire for truth. The third way is baptism by blood. Those who never knew Jesus. Maybe they're not even baptized Christians, but they're standing up for the truth. They're righteous as Saint Joseph was righteous, and they're willing to lay down their life for other people. To be truly courageous, and we're drawn to people like that, to look at them and say, what a hero. And so when I look at the landscape of Afghanistan and what's going on and the suffering and the tragedy of that, and I'm not going to bring my own opinion in it because, yes, I was a U.S. Army Airborne Ranger, air assault, and we could get right in there with the 82nd Airborne and the 101st and secure a whole other airport and there wouldn't have been anybody that died. But 13 service members of ours died. And what they were doing was courageous. They were doing what they were not trained to do. They were reaching over walls and trying to save life. They knew there were threats of a bomb blowing up or whatever, and they continued to do it. And out of those 13, the average age of that group was 22 years old. And there's one sergeant that stuck out to me. Her name is Sergeant G. Sergeant G. And her last message to her family members, and I don't know if she's a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know if she is whatever faith belief, but the way she was courageous and the way she went from this world tells me that she was a doer of the word. Her last photo to her parents was, "I love my job," holding a little Afghanistan baby in her arms. Google it, look it up, Sergeant G. That's the model for you young people. Those are the people, the courage we need to look at. That's better than a Super Bowl champion or the best of athletes that we may promote or performers that are out there. Nothing wrong with being an athlete or a performer. That's good. But she was performing on the stage of real life stuff. And she had the courage to be a doer along with her other service members. And her actions were righteous. And what she was doing to save lives was just. She lost her life. She didn't lose her life. I believe with all my heart, she gained life. Because she was a doer of the word. Because Jesus spoke the word, there's no greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And she didn't even know half those people. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we're called to be doers of the word. We're called to be examples in our homes. Where do I need to die to myself in my home? For my spouse to be a doer of the word. Can I hold my mouth back from an unkind word? Where am I called to be a doer of the word as an adult, with the emails I may send, or the way that I communicate, or the way do I talk to people, does that reflect a doer of the word? How about in my school? If I'm there, am I a doer of the word when I go out and take the sport field, or go to my extracurricular activity, or in the hall? Am I willing to be courageous, like these service members in a way, to be able to stand up for the one who may be being picked on? Or the one who may be set aside? Do I let the Holy Spirit move me? Do I let the Holy Spirit guide me? Do I let Scripture be the lamp to my feet to be a doer of the word? Do not let your hearts be troubled in these times. Jesus said there will be wars, there will be insurrections, there will be pandemics, there will be difficulties, there will be. But in the end, I will prevail. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us keep our eyes on Jesus in this time. Let's realize we're called by Him to be courageous. With the help of His grace, let's truly be doers of the word.